I'm not asking you, assuming that you have all the details, that you have access to Tom Brady's and Rob Gronkowski's cell phone records, but how do you think that played out? I mean, the two are obviously tight, had a ton of success together in New England, and Gronk made it clear, if I'm coming back, it's to play with Tom down in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. My guess, and, you know, we're all loving this, right? We're all getting to play amateur detective here, okay? My guess is it was discussed when Gronk retired. You know, from that point on, the discussion had already been held. So Gronk retires, body's beat up, ready to take a break, et cetera. Tom's still playing. As we all know, Tom Brady had already started the process of kind of separating from New England. Remember his last contract that he signed, the one-year deal? He got the owner, Robert Kraft, to agree that they would put a clause in there that they would not franchise tag him. Remember? That you know, he would be allowed to be a full free agent at the end of that contract. Mm-hmm. So my guess is that discussion happened about the time, hey, Gronk, if you're ever going to come back, if you're feeling it, and I go somewhere else, let's do this thing. Gronk was probably like, Tom, if I ever, you know, if my body's feeling it, and you go somewhere else, let's do this. And that's probably the seeds of it. And then, of course, as it went on, Tom does sign with, you know, Tampa Bay, obviously. My guess is that, you know, the texting and the conversation was, yo, dude, I just signed with Tampa Bay. All right, I'll get back to you. And here we are. You know, I mean, I don't think that's an outlandish type of a discussion. I don't think there's anything really untoward about it either. I think New England fans probably are like, what? What's going on? I think that's just normal. These are guys who are boys. These are guys who had always said to each other, hey, I only want to play with you, all right? I only want to be on your team. I only want to catch passes from you. I only want to throw to you, Gronk. This is not an unusual thing, but they were actually able to execute it. Because we all have hopes and dreams and want to do this and want to do that. But how often are we able to accomplish it and maneuver the way we want? It's rare in pro sports. In this case, they were able to get it done. I bet they're like 7-year-olds giddy, man. You know, darn near taking, you know, the pinky promise with each other. This is, for them, this is like the greatest thing going. And they were able to not manipulate. They were able to utilize the system or go through the system, bypass it, if you want to use that word. Heck, maybe even manipulate it, whatever. But they got it done, and this is really a heck of a deal. And I'll just finish with this, guys. None of us are sitting here surprised today that Gronk's back playing football. I mean, anybody tells you that they're surprised, they missed it from the word go. I mean, I told people when he retired, he's got to be done 3 years before I'm convinced he's finished. Mm-hmm. Because you just never know with a guy like that. So that part's not the issue. It's just, how about this timing right on the eve of the draft, right? Able to make this thing happen, dominate the news cycle, and we're talking about them instead of Joe Burrow, Tua, Willie Slide, all of those things. They have hijacked the NFL draft for the last 24 hours.
So, Charles, you didn't buy into any of it. Like, remember when Gronk got emotional? I think he was promoting some CBD product, yeah. And he talked about how his head had banged up and, you know, the body had just broken down and it was a struggle. And you don't, I mean, you obviously felt he was coming back at some point, but you didn't even doubt then when you saw how emotional he got in a moment like that?
No, let me be, I should be a little bit clearer. Okay. I probably wasn't as clear as I should have been. What I didn't doubt was the possibility,
okay,
of Gronk coming back. You know, not that he would flat out come back, because that, I think I'm being disingenuous there. I think he was serious when, you know, I don't think it was an act. You know, he felt that, and he wasn't sure, because don't forget, Tom Brady was still in New England. What I'm getting out of this is Gronk wasn't coming back to play with Tom if he was staying in New England. Mm. He's come back to play with Tom if he was playing somewhere else. And I think a lot of people are looking at it like, boy, these guys cannot wait to get away from Bill Belichick. Mm. I think there's a small element of that. There have been a number of people who were excited about leaving. But you know what I've discovered over the years? A bunch of the guys that left New England if they had a chance to go back later after being somewhere else, they ran back there. And if their careers ended and they didn't play there again, there was a little bit of bitterness early about being, you know, cast aside. But 95% of them patched it up and came back and are, and you know, have their arms around the Patriots and Bill Belichick, et cetera. It's always interesting to me when I hear this, oh, God, they can't wait to be somewhere else. Yeah, they go somewhere else. You know what happens? They don't win Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite as much fun as people think. And then when they get a chance to go back and hang out and be a part of that, they talk about being Patriots. They don't talk about their time elsewhere. So, yeah, I get it. Everybody wants to prove to Dad that they can do it on their own. But when it's all said and done, you know who you go and hug? You go and hug Dad. So Gronk's going through that now. Tom Brady's going through that now. But I'll bet my last nickel, when it's all said and done and they're all finished and they're hanging out, we're going to find out later on, these guys, man, you know, some of my best years, Patriot, being a Patriot, there's nothing like it. Kind of how it works when you hoist a Super Bowl trophy six times. Just kind of how it works. So, yeah, I think they're just, you know, like all of us. Can't wait to get away from our parents for a while. But like Mark Twain, it's amazing how smart the old man got from the time I left home mm-hmm. to the time I came back. That's how it goes.
Yeah, I wanted to get into this with you, Charles. And is this more guys don't want to play for Belichick, or is this just I want to prove that I can win without him? Because I don't understand what's so bad about Belichick. I you know, you hear these stories, but I mean, no one really knows. I mean, I've played for coaches, I've had GMs that are they're tough to play for, but you win with them, so you just put up with it.
Yep, you're darn right, and I think you nailed it really, really well. I don't think it's playing for him is so bad. I think that when you are as successful as those guys are, and you notice these come out of the guys who are extremely successful. The other guys you don't hear anything about, right? I mean, you know, not that big of a deal. But super successful, you want to kind of prove that you had a big hand in it too, because Bill Belichick's going to get a lot of credit, and he deserves to get a lot of credit. But when you're a player, you're like, yeah, that's great, but remember, we're the ones actually doing it on the field. Don't forget us. And you'd love to show him how well you did. I don't care who you are. Take fathers out of it. Take whatever out of it, okay? You mentioned coaches, or actually, let me rephrase. Put them all in it. Coaches, fathers, mentors, teachers, bosses. When you leave them, don't you want to prove to them and make them proud? Don't you want to prove to them that you did well? I think there's an element of that, too. And when you come back, then you get the full embrace again. But when you're, you know, when you're out there on your own, you just want to show them, look at what I'm doing. I do that. I have a mentor. And every day I want to make him wake up and say, boy, that kid's doing okay. I really want to. I hope he does. I hope he's proud of me because of the effect he's had on my life. I feel like there's a lot of that with Belichick, but we turned it into an adversarial thing all the time. And I don't know that it necessarily is. Although when he trades you or cuts you, yeah, you're not real thrilled about that. That's a little adversarial. Mm-hmm. But have you noticed how many of those guys get traded or cut? They end up either back in New England when they get a chance at the end of their career, or they just go back and embrace them. Okay? You remember when he cut Randy Moss? Who's Randy Moss talk about like he's the greatest guy he's ever seen in the world? Bill Belichick. Willie McGinnis, a friend of mine from NFL Network. He told me he wasn't real thrilled about, and I'm putting it mildly, him sending him to Cleveland. It's all said and done now. Who does Willie identify with? New England and Bill Belichick. So I don't think that this all to say, I got to get out of here. I hate playing for Belichick. I don't buy that one second.
Patrick Chung, Jamie Collins. Jamie Collins got shipped off to Cleveland, after like week one year? And because he wanted more money, and now he's back. Yep.
You know, the Jamie Collins one reminded me of when Vince Lombardi ruled the NFL, and you guys all heard the story when Jim Ringo was his little pro center, and Ringo shows up for contract negotiating. Back then, there were no agents. Players did it with the head coach, general manager, which was usually the same person, and you'd walk in, and Lombardi would pretty much tell you, this is what we're going to pay you. Okay, now get out. You know, that was it. And he shows up with this guy, and Lombardi says, who is this, sir? And Ringo said, oh, this is, you know, Ron, and he's going to actually negotiate my contract for me, coach. Really? He leaves the room. Oh, excuse me a minute, guys. Lombardi leaves the room, comes back and says, sir, I'm sorry to inform you that you're negotiating with the wrong person. Jim Ringo's the property of the Philadelphia Eagles. Traded him right there.
Jeez.
All pro center.
Huh.
Different time, different era. But there's Belichick. Hey, if I'm not getting what I want or if I think I can do something, the beauty of him as a coach is that he can take that emotion and take it out in making a decision. But I have to tell you, when he's done these things, remember when he cut Richard Seymour or traded Richard Seymour?
To the Everybody
Raiders,
went,
oh, my
yeah.
God. How do you trade Richard Seymour? I will tell you, in my heart and my mind, I believe that he does what's right for his team as an administrator, as a coach. He's able to make that happen, but I'll bet you behind closed doors, it affects the heck out of him because it's not like he doesn't care. I think people think this man's a robot. There is no way he's a robot to have inspired players to play for him, to get them to win like he does. There's absolutely no way. Does he draw the line and keep distance? Yes. There's no way he's unfeeling. No chance.
Yeah, and I remember when Vince Wilfork got big money out of Houston in free agency, yep. Belichick's quote was, Vince Wilfork will always be a Patriot. God bless him. Good luck to him. I'm glad he got paid. He will always be a Patriot. So it wasn't personal. That is the thing that strikes me about Belichick is it, as you said, Charles, it never is personal, and he's always, whether he expresses it publicly or not, in the Wilfork situation he happened to,
yep.
He seems to be always, look, if you go do better for yourself elsewhere, fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't forget at that time frame when Vince Wilfork was able to do that, I bet you Bill Belichick was saying he's on the bottom end of his career.
Yep.
Okay. I'm happy for him that he's doing that, but it probably saved him from having to make that big decision
right.
on Vince Wilfork. So all these things go into it. But like people say all the time, was it the Godfather's not business? It's not personal, it's just business. I've always said business is about as personal as you get outside of your family because it takes care of your livelihood. It identifies you as a person in a lot of cases. It tells you who you are or you feel like it tells you who you are. So I've always felt like it's as personal as it gets. And no one's going to be happy when one side sees it one way and the other side sees it another. And the one side that has control sees it in a way that doesn't satisfy you. But as we've gone through here, it's not every guy because it'll never be every guy. Every guy didn't come back and say, love Vince Lombardi. Okay. Leroy Jordan, I'm not sure he was real thrilled about him all the way through. You know, there were different guys that thought it just wasn't cool. But the vast majority, they embraced him and idolized him and do it all the way through. I read when one backer said, you know, my father, who I love dearly, has been gone a long time, but I don't think of him every day. I wake up every day and I think of Vince Lombardi. Okay? I have a feeling Belichick has had a similar effect on a vast majority of his players. Not so much that he's this fire-breathing ogre. It's like, yeah, you're gone. Never talk to you again. I don't think it works that way.
Charles Davis is our guest. He's Leadoff's NFL analyst. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So want to go through a couple of other effects of this Gronkowski trade, the effect on the reputation of Bruce Arians, the head coach of the Buccaneers. This is an offensive guru. This is someone who has worked with either as a quarterbacks coach, an offensive coordinator, the likes of Peyton Manning in Indianapolis, Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. He had a pretty good run in Arizona, got out of there, Charles, when he realized Carson Palmer was done and that team, other than Larry Fitzgerald, was more or less going to go through a rebuild. Like, Bruce Arians doesn't have a ring as a head coach. He's after it now. I mean, this is a big moment and a big deal for him, too. Now all the work lies ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it certainly does. And he realizes that, obviously, Brady and Gronk are the symbols and the shining symbols of the whole thing. But how am I going to take care of the rest of the offensive line? Because now that I've got Tom Brady, I better find a way to protect him. That's a big deal. The second part is to continue to build on that defense, which I thought made strides last year. But the back end of the defense still needs a lot of work. You know, they got Shaquille Barrett, the sack master. And they were able to get him back off of the franchise tag, I believe. Jason Pierre-Paul should be good to go for a full season. Remember, he had the car wreck last year, so it's been dinged up a little bit. Vita Vea, the kid they drafted out of Washington, continues to get better. So up front, they're getting better. Linebacker, they added Devin White last year. Levante David is still there. It's the back end of that defense that needs a lot of work because Todd Bowles is a pressure guy. So that means we're my man coverage people. Who's going to latch onto these receivers and make it tough downfield? So Bruce Arians gets it all, understands it all, and now comes the next set of next thing of pressure, which I don't think will bother Bruce at all. If you've signed Brady and Gronk, anything less than getting to the Super Bowl now makes you extremely unsuccessful, right? As opposed to, hey, oh my God, they won 11, 12 games. That's a heck of a deal. Now it's almost Super Bowl or bust. But I think he welcomes that because, as you said, he hasn't won a ring as a head coach, but he's done just about everything else in football. Why not take a chance? And as Bruce has always said, you guys know his pet phrase, right? No risk it, no biscuit. He's going for the biscuit now.
Well, and the other thing is Brady and Gronkowski, we were talking about this earlier on in the show, Charles. You go through the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, the NFL. I can't think of an iconic duo. And I know that some of Brady's success in New England preceded Gronkowski, but they did win, I think, 3 of the 6 Super Bowls there together, Gronkowski having played for essentially the last decade. I can't think of an iconic duo in any of the big sports that has won in one city and then has gone on and won in another city. Right?
Yeah, like, I'm with you on that. Yeah, I don't know where. You know, if people, you know, people are listening to us and they can come up with it, will you guys please let me know? Because I'm dying to know if indeed we missed any, because that's a great, great thought process. And it just tells you how difficult it is to have it. But even more so, if you go back through the annals of history, remember this, the vast majority of free agents are still in their infancy. I mean, the vast majority of sports are still basically in their infancy with free agency. All right. If you remember, for the most part, free agency is still relatively new in those leagues, even though it seems like it's been around forever for us. Right? So a lot of the great duos that we talked about and the great, great teams and what have you, they were able to stay together because you couldn't really break them up. They had the reserve clause and people kept their players. And that's why when we were kids, you could name the guys who took the ice, the first line for hockey. You could name the starting 11 in football. You could name the batting order on your favorite baseball team, the starting 5 in basketball, because they were together relatively for 5 to 7 years minimum. And if they were really successful, longer. Nowadays, teams, the two people trade, move, free agency kicks in, all of that. It's not quite the same. So you're right, it's really, really hard. And look, Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig were never able to go to another team, not that they would want to, but they didn't. You know, tragedy kicked in, of course. But pick your duos and then say, could they go somewhere else? And did that? And I think you're onto something. I'll be stunned to find out that we really had any. And I'm waiting to see who that is. Where they went elsewhere. Not that they just reunited, but as you said, won big. In other words, won a championship.
Charles, we'd be remiss if we didn't touch on the draft and how weird it's going to be. It'll be done in a virtual world. Are you expecting any surprises? I read one article that suggested Justin Herbert, the quarterback out of Oregon, could be picked higher than Tua Tagovailoa. So, I mean, Joe Burrow is going to go first overall to Cincinnati, but that it could be Herbert rather than Tagovailoa, the second quarterback taken in the draft.
Yeah, that's come up really big in recent days, and it's been part of the whispers all the way through. But those whispers are really gaining momentum because a lot of people are using, and I'm using those air quotes right now, safe in terms of the safer pick is Herbert because of the lack of injury history. Tua, when you start going down the line, is more than just the two ankles and the hip. He had the hand. He had the broken nose. He had this. He had that. But for the most part, he played through most of these things. The ankles, he had the surgery, missed a little bit of time, maybe a game. Was able to come back, play in the college football playoffs. So those are the things that people are weighing. That's a big reason why Herbert has gained that momentum. And part of that, too, we're getting closer to the draft, so more and more smoke signals being sent out. Heck, Miami might be sending them out themselves and might still pick Tua. We won't know until it gets revealed come Thursday night.
And just very quickly, because we're right up against it.
Sure.
You've got to work for this season, right? Because Trevor Lawrence is hanging in the balance next year, the quarterback out of Clemson. He'll be likely the first overall pick next year. You can't, if you're the Dolphins, you can't predict how you're going to perform in 2020. You got to make your pick that makes sense for you. You can't count on the fact that you're going to tank or whatever to get Trevor Lawrence.
Absolutely agreed. And the other part is, and I hate to say it, what if something goes wrong with Trevor Lawrence this year? What if all of a sudden he has a lousy right. year? What if unfortunately the young man gets injured? Anyone who's playing for down the road for a draft pick, to me, you're playing a fool's game.